From the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is a time of hope.
As we begin our program, I want to mention again that we have Vacation Bible School this week, Monday through Friday, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at our church. It's an evening. And everyone is welcome. If you'd like more information, just give the church a buzz at 796-4885 to register your children or grandchildren to come to our Bible school.
Will you join me responsively in the call to worship? Trusting in the word of life given in baptism, we gather in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
As God is our shepherd, we need nothing else.
He rests in green pastures and along still waters, which renews and refreshes our spirits.
God guides us along paths of righteousness.
And walks with us through shadow valleys, so we are not afraid. The shepherd's staff comforts us.
God set the banquet table for us in the presence of our enemies. There we are anointed with oil, and our cup overflows.
Goodness and mercy shall never depart from us, as long as we dwell in the house of God.
Let us unite our hearts together in the spirit of prayer. O God, powerful and compassionate, you shepherd your people, faithfully feeding and protecting us. Help us to be a people who are ready to reach out to shepherd others as you would us, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our shepherd. Amen. As sheep needing forgiveness, let us come confessing our sins. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We are like sheep without a shepherd, wandering dangerously alone. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Beloved in the Lord is our righteousness. We who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. May your sins be forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Our special music is sung by Paul Schott, singing that wonderful hymn, Jesus is Tenderly Calling You Home.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, why from the sunshine of love will thou roam, farther and farther away, calling today, calling today, Jesus is calling his tenderly calling today, Jesus is waiting, oh come to him now, waiting today, come with thy sins at his feet. Jesus is reading all this to his voice. Hear him today, hear him today. They who believe on his name shall rejoice. Quickly arise and away. Calling today, calling today.
Our Old Testament lesson is read by Becky Snyder, followed by the gospel lesson and his sermon, Unexpected Places, from our guest minister, Reverend Rich Reinmold.
The first reading comes from Genesis 28, 10 through 19. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your descendants. And your descendants shall be like the dust of the earth. And you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And by you and your descendants shall all the families of the earth bless themselves. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done that of which I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid, and he said, how awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone which he had put under his head, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. He called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city was Luz at first. Here ends the first reading.
Our gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, where we read the familiar parable of the wheat and the weeds. Another parable he put before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But when men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. Then the weeds appeared also when the plants came up. And the servants of the householder came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then has it weeds?" He said to them, "An enemy has come and done this." The servants said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he said, "No, lest in the gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest I will tell the reapers, 'Gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" It truly is good to be with you this morning. Every time I come to this church, there is so much that goes on here that pushes all kinds of buttons in me. You see, I'm an old E&R boy from way back when, and I really kind of feel at home here. And if the lake weren't so far, you would see me every Sunday morning, and you'd have to put up with me. But it's a little far, so that's not going to happen. As we turn to our text for this morning, "Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it.'" It's the story of Jacob, a man of dubious character who has an encounter with God. It happens in a dream. And when Jacob awakens, he realizes he's been in the presence of God, and he didn't realize it. You ever had that happen to you, that you were in the presence of God, and you didn't know it? I have. It's only after I look back on what has occurred that I say, I didn't realize what was really going on. There are a lot of unexpected things that happened to us. The other day, I got an email from a friend who sent these unexpected quips from airline attendants as they attempted to make the announcement. You know, we've all been on planes and got those announcements where you just really don't pay much attention to them. But, you know, some employees over the years have tried to make those just a little more interesting and maybe get people to listen. So here are some of those. On one airline, the attendant said, "In the event of a sudden loss of cabin pressure, mask will descend from the ceiling. Stop screaming, grab the mask, pull it over your face, and if you have a small child traveling with you, secure your mask before assisting with theirs. If you are traveling with more than one child, pick your favorite." "Weather at our destination is 50 degrees with some broken clouds, but we'll try to have them fixed before we arrive. Thank you, and remember, nobody loves you or your money more than Southwest Airlines. As you exit the plane, make sure to gather all of your belongings. Anything left behind will be distributed evenly among the flight attendants. Please do not leave children or spouses." And one airline pilot wrote that on one particular flight, he had basically hammered the ship into the runway really, really hard. And the airline had a policy which required the first officer to stand at the door while the passengers exited and smile and give them a thanks for flying their airline. And he said that in the light of his bad landing, he had a hard time at looking the passengers in the eye, thinking that surely someone would have some kind of a comment about that. And finally, everyone got off except one little elderly lady walking with a cane. She said, "Sir, do you mind if I ask you a question?" And he responded, "Why, no, ma'am. What is it?" And the little old lady asked, "Did we land or were we shot down?" Not quite what you'd expect. And so it was with Jacob, the Jacob who had cheated his brother, stole his birthright, that Jacob, who fled to do his father's bidding, fled not because he was particularly obedient, but because he feared that he would be killed if he stayed at home. And as he fled, he came to a certain place, and he stayed there for a night, and he took a stone of that place, and he put it under his head and laid down, and he slept. Obviously, it was not a Hilton Inn with pillows. And he dreamed, and in that dream, God came to him. God came to this man, Jacob, who was tired and fearful, who was alone and thought that he was loved by none except maybe his mother. And God came to this guy who was a cheat and a rascal, goodness knows what else. And God gave to him a vision of a staircase reaching into the heavens, of a ladder upon which angels were ascending and descending to do God's bidding. And as Jacob looked upon this scene, God gave him a promise, the same promise made to his grandfather Abraham and to his father Isaac, saying, "Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, that I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you." And Jacob awoke, and he said, and catch this line, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." Have you ever been in God's presence and hardly notice it, or not notice it at all? Have you ever suddenly realized that God has been with you long before you realized God was there? Have you ever been in fear only to discover God coming to your aid? Have you ever had your picture of someone completely painted only to discover that the light has shifted, that the person you thought you saw has completely changed, and changed for the better? Have you ever painted a picture of yourself, a picture in which the colors are all blue and all depressed, all unlovable, only to discover that someone does love you, that someone believes in you, that you are more than welcome in the presence of the living God? The good news of this story, of Jacob's story, is not simply that there are links to heaven. The good news is not that God sometimes comes to us. The good news is not that heaven and earth are somehow connected. The good news is not that Jacob was a special kind of guy despite his tricky ways. Nor is the good news simply that we see God keeping and renewing the covenant, his promise to Abraham and to Isaac, to raise up a people and to bless them to be a blessing. No, the good news is all but hidden in that single sentence, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." In the gospel reading today, the reading about the wheat and the weeds, there's a great deal of wisdom there for us. It speaks of the ultimate demise of that which is evil, and it counsels patience. Patience in the face of situations that seem bad to us. Patience in the midst of our urge to go out and to fix things and make them right, right now. Patience in the face of our desire to make judgments about others and then to act on those judgments. We do not know what is going to come next. Nor can we pin it down just where God is and what God is about to do. In fact, we can't even be sure that the weeds about us will remain weeds and that the wheat will remain wheat. Sometimes the weeds flower and blossom. Consider Moses, a murderer. We don't talk about that much. Yeah, he killed somebody. Consider David, an adulterer. Consider the Apostle Paul, a religious vigilante who put followers of Jesus to death. Consider the disciple Peter, an absolute hypocrite and a man with very little courage. Who would think that God would work with them? That God would be present with them, that God would love them, that God would make them great, that God would grant unto them the blessing of an eternal kingdom. Master, say the servants in the parable of the wheat and the weeds, Master, do you want us to go out and gather the weeds for burning? Do you want us to pluck out the evil sown by your enemy to try to separate out the roots to destroy that which is doing harm? And the master says, no. For in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Wait until harvest time. Wait till the reapers go forth. Wait. Where is God? What is God doing? We don't know what's going to come next. Nor can we pin down just where God is and what God is about to do. But we can be sure of one thing, of one truth we can rely on, and that is God will surprise us. I can testify to that because it's happened over and over and over in my life. God will surprise us. God will surprise us by embracing us when we feel unembraceable, when we feel maybe dirty, unclean. God will surprise us by turning our greatest afflictions into sources of strength and healing. God will surprise us by taking the lost and the lonely and making them great lights to others. God will surprise us by changing the wicked into saints and by casting down those whose righteousness turned out only to be something they wore on their sleeves. God will surprise us by making sour lemons into thirst-quenching lemonade. God will surprise us by changing a time of death into a glorious everlasting life. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. This could be a cry of despair, coming as it does from Jacob's most unworthy lips. It could be the kind of cry we have all uttered when we have done one thing when we ought to have done another. It could be a cry of despair and a moment of longing for that which is past. But it is not. For Jacob, that cry signals a moment of awakening, a time of opening his eyes and truly seeing, a time of opening his ears and truly listening, a time of coming from the night of uncertainty into the daylight of a holy hope. For Jacob, that cry signals a moment of discovering that, yes, God is here. Here even when we do not know it, here even when we think God cannot, should not, will not be, here even when we aren't looking for God to be here. And in discovering that God is here, it is for Jacob a moment in which he understands that God is here to bless and to heal, that God is here to comfort and to guide, that God is here to change, to transform, that God is here to help and to reassure. And Jacob woke up from his sleep and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid. Afraid not because he had made some mistakes, but afraid because he realized he was on holy ground. The place he was in was a holy place. And he looked at himself, and he was fearful. And as he looked in fear upon the sand, the rock, the dry plants, the soil of that place, that desert, he said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." And he took the stone upon which he had laid his head while he slept, and he made of it a kind of a memorial, a kind of altar, and he named the place in which he slept Bethel, the house of God. How awesome indeed is the place of God, the place in which the weeds are allowed to grow up with the wheat, the place in which all we have for pillows are stones, and the place in which we fear and long for comfort and think we have none, the place in which the lost are found and the blind are given sight.
We do not know what's going to come next, nor can we pin down just where God is and what God is about. But if we wait, if we let God do whatever it is that God is going to do, if we let God be God, if we let God move in his mysterious ways, his wonders to perform, we will find ourselves surprised in the most wonderful of ways. We will discover that we are, wherever we are, God is there, still speaking, still doing. One final story about the unexpected things of life, and this is for us old-timers. Not everybody will know about this illustration. It's simply because it's before their time. Some people have been a bit offended that the actor Lee Marvin is buried in a grave alongside 3- and 4-star generals at Arlington National Cemetery. His marker gives his name, rank, private, and his service, United States Marine Corps, and nothing else. Here's a guy who was only a famous movie star who served his time, so why does he rate burial with these guys? The image I have of him, it was in one movie, and I don't even remember the movie. Lee Marvin is on the top of a horse, drunk, leaning up against the wall with a drunken horse leaning up against the wall. People don't know the extent of this actor's Marine Corps experiences. In a time when many Hollywood stars served their country in the armed forces, it was often in the rear echelon where they were carefully protected and they were only trotted out to perform for the cameras in war bond promotions. Well, this man was a genuine hero. He won the Navy Cross at Iwo Jima, and there's only one higher naval award, the Medal of Honor. And if that is a surprising comment on the true character of the man, he credits his sergeant with an even greater show of bravery. One night he was on the Johnny Carson show. Some people don't remember Johnny Carson. He was kind of like Jimmy Kimmel, Colbert, and Jimmy Fallon. He preceded all them. And every night, most people watched Johnny Carson before they went to bed. Well, anyhow, Lee Marvin was on that show, and Johnny said, Lee, I'll bet a lot of people are unaware that you were a Marine in the initial landing at Iwo Jima. And during the course of that action, you earned the Navy Cross and you were severely wounded. And Marvin said, yeah. I got shot in the, well, let's say I couldn't sit for a while. And they gave me the cross for securing a hot spot about halfway up Suribachi. A bad thing about getting shot up on a mountain is guys getting shot hauling you down. But Johnny, at Iwo Jima, I served under the bravest man I ever knew. We both got the cross that day, but what he did for his cross made mine look cheap in comparison. That dumb fool actually stood up on Red Beach and directed his troops to move forward and get off the beach. Bullets flying by with mortar rounds landing everywhere, and he stood there as the main target of gunfire so that he could get his men to safety. And he did this more than on one occasion because his safety was not as important as his men's safety. To him, their life was more important than his own. That sergeant and I have been lifelong friends ever since. And Johnny, I'm not lying. Sergeant Keeshan was the bravest man I ever knew. The sergeant's name is Bob Keeshan. You and the world know him as Captain Kangaroo. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. Be prepared to be surprised. Shall we pray? O holy God, in the midst of the struggles of life, we lift our hearts in thankful praise that you are always near. Help us to get out of your way and let you be God, that we might not stand in the way of your wondrous deeds. For this we ask in Christ's name. Amen.